Well, we're going to continue on from where I left off. And our subject was the difference between Israel and the church. And so we're continuing on that. And I would like you to turn with me. I don't want to recap too much, but I do want to go back to where we left off in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon them. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. So we found out last time when I gave the message that you'll find that the king will reign, as it says in verse 2. Yes, the king will reign, and the world is still in darkness. Now, that is the darkness of the tribulation period, but the Lord shines on Israel. Now, remember that for the tribulation period, before that comes in, that the rapture has taken place and the church is gone to be with the Lord. But the darkness is still there, and the light is shining upon Israel. Now, as we notice the second thing in this here portion, that the nations will pay homage to him, and when they come, they're going to come with all kinds of gifts. Lift up thine eyes, verse 4, round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be covered unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of the Midian and Ephraim. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And notice again, now I'm not going to labor on this because we talked about it already, that the thing that is not in this here group that they're bringing is got the gold and the incense, because there is no myrrh, because the sufferings for the Lord is all over. So it's just gold and incense that the Gentiles are bringing unto the Lord. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud? Now, this is talking about airplanes. They're coming, they didn't have airplanes back there, but that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the airplanes are going to be coming from all over to bring all these here supplies, and they're coming in, and they're going to come as the doves to their windows. Yes, they're going to come in flocks, and they're going to minister unto them. And so you see, this is what's taking place, and they're coming in by boatloads, as the next verse brings out to us. And we mentioned that when I was here last time, but I don't want to labor too much on this here portion, because we already looked at that. The nations will bring homage, as I said. And there we will see that they bring their gold and their incense from the Gentiles. Now, Israel will be gathered together, as we read in verse 8. Yes, they will be gathered together. And we will find that they will come in like flocks of birds, and the foreigners shall come, and the construction will take place, and they'll begin to build again. And so we find that in verse 10. And there's no need to lock the city, no, of the gates, because they're coming day and night. They'll be coming during this time. Now, this is what's taking place because we find that the tribulation period is over with. And, yes, the nations are coming to recognize that the Lord is King. Now, we have people out there and still very strongly that are amillennialists. And they believe that there is no future kingdom for Israel. But we find that it's been promised that Israel will get the land. Now, many say that the church has got all the promises that were granted to Israel. And they're preaching that today, that the church is going to get those promises that God's word gave to Abraham and his seed, that they would have it, this land. And so they spiritualize it and place it in the coffers of the church. Now, on the other hand, the premillennialists, such as ourselves, we hold entirely a different view than the amillennialist. Now, it's very interesting to notice that of all the Bible prophecies, I would say that over 50% of them, or just about 50%, have been fulfilled and came to pass just like the Word of God said it would come to pass. Now, therefore, if 50% has come to pass, then the other 50% that has to do with the future, we certainly can look forward to that to come to pass. And I believe that it will. But the amillennialists, they accept the literal, this is the strange thing, they accept the literal fulfillment of the prophecies that had to do with the first coming of the Lord. They accept that. But then you'll find that they spiritualize on the next half of the prophecies. And so there are many variations to the amillennialist. There's various variations, too, for the premillennialist. But we find also that there's other strange doctrines that have come in. Here in the United States, for some time in the past back there, we had British Israelism, where they felt that Britain got those things that were promised unto Israel. And some of you will remember Herbert W. Armstrong, which was very loud on the radio on the World of Tomorrow. He was the one also that wrote the Plain Truth magazine, who preached very strongly on British Israelism. And but when we talk of Israel, we're talking about the 10 northern tribes. When we're talking about Judah or Jerusalem, we're talking about the 2 southern tribes. Now, history comes alongside the written word of God. And I want to read a portion from Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11, if you'll turn there, it will be fine. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verses 16 through 20. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been carried, scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, the first thing that we want to notice in that portion of Ezekiel, chapter 11, 16 through 20, we are told that they would be cast among the nations. Now, we know that that happened. That was prophesied that they would be cast out and into the nations, and for nearly 2,000 years, they have been among the Gentiles who have not been very hospitable to them, but there they have been scattered. And then they would always be Israel. Now, that's a miracle as far as I'm concerned, that they would always be Israel. There would be an Israel. It's an amazing thing to stop to think that these people have never lost their identity. And that is one of the great miracles of the Word of God, is that they have been kept. Other people will lose their identity, but not the Israelites. And the Lord promised that He would be a little sanctuary to them. We read that. And that He would be a little sanctuary, and what that means is that He would be a protection for them. He would be a place for them where He would always be with them, and He would also understand all of their suffering while they were there, but He would preserve them. Now, just before we go on to the rest of this here in this verses, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 30. And I'm trying to hurry along because I know I'm not going to finish again tonight. Jeremiah chapter 30. And we're going to read from there. It's not chapter 30, it's chapter 31. Chapter 31. 31 and verses 35 through 37. Now, here we read, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart before me, saith the Lord, from the seed of Israel, also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Now, I think that's just a marvelous verse. It's the first time I really came across that verse. I've read it many times, but it hit me this time. In other words, for Israel not to be a nation, the universe has got to be gone. And so it's a great thing to notice that the Lord is going to keep them, and He will. And in order to destroy Israel, what they've got to do is they got to control the universe and dethrone God Himself. That's what those verses are saying. They have to control the universe and dethrone God. Now, the third thing I want you to notice from this portion that we read in Ezekiel, that the nation would one day be brought back to Israel, the land of their fathers. Today, we have seen in our lifetime how they're beginning to return back to Israel. How that they're coming back they will be united with God. And the great thing that we read there, that He will be their God and they will be His people. What a tremendous thing. and they're coming back to the land now. Now, we want to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and 1 through 3 where we started. And in that portion, when we read that, we read about the what the Lord had promised to Abraham and his seed, that they would bless the world and that Abraham would see the place that the Lord wanted to give him. Now, when we were in that portion, we found out in verses 1 through 3 of Genesis chapter 12 that what God said is he would show them, he would show him a land. But when we get down to verse 7 of that same chapter, it changes. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I'll give it to you. And so the Lord promised to give the land, and so he's always true to his promises. None of his promises will ever fail. Now, we find also, if we'll turn to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, we'll see here, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, which is, come on, now we know what the river of Egypt is. Pardon? The Nile River. Good, I'm glad somebody knows. At the Nile River, so I have given, as it says in verse 18, unto the river of Egypt, unto the great river Euphrates. Now, they at this time, those are the boundaries that God promised, but they have not gotten that territory. They have not gotten that at all yet, but the day will come to pass that they will get it. Now, remember that Abraham had two sons. Now, which of the two sons was going to have this covenant? Now, that's answered in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19. And I want to look at this chapter just a little bit, 17 and 19, which says this, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, that's an interesting verse to grab a hold of, but what about Ishmael, the other son? Now, notice what it says in verse 20 and 21. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now Ishmael, yes, he was going to be blessed and become a great nation as well. Now, when we look at what's happened, the boundary lines of what the Arabs have today, they have got much more than what Israel is. They've got it, and they've had it. They're exceed greatly, but Israel's currently they have just a small bit of slice of land. Now, in or out of the land in history is irrelevant. Israel belongs to the Jewish people, whether they're in there or whether they're not in there. And We find, too, that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. Now, in order to find that out, you can read over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 through 11, that God chose them. And I haven't got time to turn to that portion, but we find that God chose them, and we as believers ought to be on the side of the Jews. Now, the Jews have suffered. They have suffered immensely. Yes, down through the years, ever since the captivity of Babylon, which was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. If you were here last time when I spoke, remember we talked about the times of the Gentiles, the grace of the Gentiles, and the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, the fullness of the Gentiles, don't forget, is going to come to an end when the rapture takes place. The times of the Gentiles is where we find it started at the Babylonian when they were taken into captivity and will continue on yet and will not end until the Lord comes on the second coming or the second advent when he comes. Now, in the this time, what it says, that the future will bring the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, it will be more severe than any time that the Israelites have gone through when they come to Jacob's trouble. And let's go to Jeremiah again in verse of chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. And verses 5 through 9, and you'll see there, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's Israel will be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke. Now that, when it's talking about his yoke, that is talking about the Antichrist, his yoke, yes, from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Yes, they'll serve the king. And so we find that, yes, it's going to be a great period of tribulation. But remember, now I told you last time, and I mentioned it already tonight, that the church is not around. The church has been gone. The church has been raptured during the great tribulation period. But God promised that he would preserve the nation in the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, the yoke is going to be broken of the Antichrist, and we find that Israel, as it says there in verse 7, that he shall be saved. I think it's verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, that's Israel, he shall be saved out of it. Israel will be saved out of the tribulation period. Now, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. We have that in Isaiah 59 and verse 20. After the church is taken. Now, if we'll read over in Romans chapter 11, I think we got time for that verse yet. Romans chapter 11, and I think it's verse 26 I wrote down here. Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the times of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, we're talking here that he will both come from Zion, and he will come out of Zion. And when he comes, the glory of the Lord will rise upon Israel, as we read in Isaiah chapter 60, to begin with on this lesson for tonight. Now, I believe when it refers thereof of Israel, as silver is refined, Proverbs 11:26 says, all Israel, it means all believing Israel. I believe that's what that means, is all believing Israel. And so we'll notice that there'll be some unbelieving, but it's talking about all believing Israel will be saved. Now, Zechariah chapter 14, and we maybe can look at that. Zechariah chapter 14. And I want to read verse 2 there. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day, as he fought in the day of battle. Now, what's this talking about in Zechariah 14:2? You're going to have the gathering of the nations during this time. It's at the end of the tribulation period, and this is Armageddon. This is the battle when it's going to take place. And if we had time, we're not going to, but when the battle takes place, as you read about it in Revelation chapter 16, there you'll see that the Lord calls for the birds of the air and the fowls, all of them to gather. And what are they gathering for? They're gathering for a feast. They're going to eat them. Yes, the birds and the fowls of the air will come, as you'll read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17, and Christ returns to the Mount of Olives. Now, at this time, when he returns to the Mount of Olives, what happens as the Lord steps on that Mount of Olives, it splits. And as you know from the portions there, that what they're going to do is the Israelites are going to run in between the mountain where it splits. They're going to find safety there in the split. And so when that takes place, we're going to find out that the Lord Jesus had promised that he, when he left the Mount of Olives and they saw him go as he ascended up into heaven, he says he's coming back just where he left from. And so we find that then he'll set up his kingdom. Now, this is my thinking. I don't know whether I'm accurate on this or not, but I'm thinking about this, that the marriage supper of the Lamb will then take place after the time of the tribulation and at the end of this here time, because of the fact that, if you're going to have those come that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, as it says in Revelation chapter 19, that's going to take in all the believers of the first resurrection. Now, what is the first resurrection? Is of all the believers from the different times. That takes in the Old Testament. That takes in also the believers from the tribulation period. So if they're going to be there, then I think that the marriage supper of the Lamb doesn't take place until after the tribulation. However, I can't give a definite on that, but that's how I feel. Somebody else might be feeling different about that. And then we'll find that that the Lord is on the throne, and after the millennial, then we find that the second resurrection of the dead, the next resurrection is not going to be of believers, it's going to be of unbelievers. And what they're going to be is they're going to be judged, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire or hell, which is the same thing, and they're going to be the death. They're going to see death in the lake of fire. Now, we're not going to see that. The church will not see that. We're not going to be judged, because as it says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So we will not see that. No, because we'll be in glory with him. I knew I wasn't going to finish, but that's all I can give to you. Tom assigned this for one period, and a half an hour thing. How he ever thought I was going to do it, I don't know. But I've had two periods, and I'm still not done. But that's all right. And so right now, I'm going to ask Mr. Fuller if he'll just close in a word of prayer.